Hello.
Whoa, we are live.
Our first podcast.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh my gosh, this is precious.
I know, it really is. I have so much I want to say.
I have so much energy inside my body, so I'm a little freaked out by that.
That's okay.
And super excited.
Okay, well, I would just love to open it up, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for just being a yes to this amazing transmission that's about to come through. And the reason I wanted to share with everyone the reason why I wanted this podcast to happen so bad, and it's because, you know, we came into union and you just jumped into life fully with me and supported my entities, our entities, these visions. And every step of the way, like, we've done cacao ceremonies, we've come in contact with community, we've built tribe. And when you speak in those settings, even though it's not prompted, but you just be yourself, you bring your presence and you speak, everyone is just like jaws open listening to you. And literally every time you use your voice, it is such a transmission that people receive. And I always get this feedback on Instagram, in person, in our lives. Everyone is always sharing, my God, Michael is so amazing. And the last time I connected with him, my life has changed since then. And that is, it's just so powerful. And so the reason why I wanted to start this podcast, even though it's your podcast, I just wanted it to happen sooner than later, because I think the world is just so ready for you. And the world is ready, especially men are ready for you. And I've just watched you lean into life and lean into union and lean into living with your heart open in such a massive way, but no one has taught you to do that. And you're literally pioneering something for men. And so I just think it's time that you start sharing your story, start sharing your experience, because that's the other thing. Every time we hold cacao ceremonies and there's men there, they're like, God, I need to be around you more, because you inspire them and you show them what it really is to be, what it means to be an empowered man in today's world, what it means to be a man that's tapped into their emotions, their sensitivity, but yet in so much like fierceness and so strong at the same time. And this is the new man. This is like the Renaissance man that's coming through. And I feel, and maybe I'm biased, but I feel that you are leading the way with that. And this just marks the beginning of it all. And so just to share with everyone, my intention for this podcast is to just interview you always, and to share, to have you share whatever's on your heart, whatever it is that you're experiencing in life, and just let you wrap and then have me and represent the feminine to catch that and say yes to it and receive it. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm receiving you. And yeah, what's there for me right now is just, I'm really moved by that and what you just shared, and has me feel emotional and just really intimately connected to you and just present to our journey and my journey. And it's like, it can be challenging to receive, because it's not like I've been leaning into what we've been up to or what's been showing up for us in life to then be able to have content for a podcast or for a book or for a website. It's just been my soul that's been like, keep going, keep leaning. I know it's uncomfortable. This is where you're meant to go. And then it's been you, like, physically and verbally being like, come on, keep coming. Like, this is where we're meant to go. Like, it's all leading somewhere. I know this really sucks right now, but come on, let's keep going. And so, yeah, to balance like feeling at the tip of the iceberg or feeling on the leading edge of something and knowing that it's time to utilize my voice and really speak into existence, my experiences, and just what's there for me, what's on my heart, what's coming through from spirit is a big deal and is a big honor. And at the same time, it's like, it's hard for my human self to grasp it, because it's like, I'm just a guy, you know. I'm just a guy living life in love with a beautiful woman, wanting to be of service to the world and fulfill my purpose for being here, which I think is more relatable than anything else. You know, it's like, just human, really. Like, just as not put together as everyone else, and just trying to figure myself out as much as everyone else is. and now feeling at a place where, you know, I've sorted through some stuff. So I'm like, okay, maybe I am in a place to start to guide others. And my resistance to that before was, who am I to do this? You know, I still have all my own stuff, which I will continue to, even after this initial podcast. I will, you know, continue to have the things that come up for me and the stuff to work through. And but it's just not being about, like, it's not about being put together. Mm-hmm. It's just about being where you're at, sharing your experience. And yeah, I'm ready.
Exactly. Oh, amazing. Okay, so before I have you share a bit of your story, why don't you just share with everyone about this podcast and what it's called and what has presented itself? Because we're not going to do any of those cheesy intros, which I love that we always make fun of that.
I could. We could do like a do new cheesy one every time. Because that's before when we were testing the microphone, we were literally singing. I was. We both were singing together. And I don't know. That's one of my intentions, is to just have this be entertaining and have it be fun, because life is hard enough as it is. And when we're going through those grueling moments of growth, it's like the last thing you want to do is have another serious conversation. It's like, Jesus, just give me a break here, you know? Like, let me have a moment to just ease my own suffering. So my intention with this is to bring light to the actual experiences that we have as humans, as men, but also to bring playfulness and lightness to it and relatability and make fun of myself, so that, you know, the people that are listening to this have the same freedom to make fun of themselves. So when you are in it, you can remember these podcasts. You can remember mine and Mackenzie's voices. You can remember your own voice and be like, this too shall pass. You know, this is part of the journey. I was shown recently, like, my own spiritual perfectionism and just the high standards that I and we have for ourselves. So if we're not, like, literally playing in this moment at the level of our soul, then there must be something wrong with us, or we must have missed something somewhere, or, you know, we're just really hard on ourselves. So this is not a space to be hard on ourselves. It's a space to be honest. It's a space to take a real and authentic look. It's a space to express freely and be vulnerable. But it's not a space to have self-judgment or judgment towards each other or just be hard on ourselves in any way. It's a space to explore in the lightness and playfulness of our innocence. And yeah, this podcast is called Humanity, lowercase H-U, capitalize M-A-N-I-T-Y, period. And it's a podcast for men and anyone who knows one. So it's not just for men. I'm a man, obviously, and I'll be speaking towards my experience of life as a man. So inherently, I'll be speaking to men because I'm a man, they're men. There's already resonance there, but it's for everyone in the sense that hopefully I can bring light to our experiences as men, to provide insight and understanding to our beloveds, to our partners, to our business partners, to our communities, to people we interact with in life that want and desire a better understanding of what it means to be a man in this day and age, because it's different than even it was 5-10 years ago, and it'll probably be different tomorrow, you know. So just to be able to share what's here for me and trust and know that that's what's desiring to be expressed for the collective and be known to our audience and whoever listens to this. So
amazing. Yeah.
My intention is to come from a place of love, of open-heartedness, to be playful and funny and fun, and actually have this be a place where you're entertained and enjoy yourself, but also have it be a place where we really contemplate and explore ourselves and get to know ourselves better and each other better, and just bring light to our human experience.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing because there are so many women circles and women out there, even on social media. Our communities are mainly women, and they're all talking amongst each other and they're sharing, they're experiencing, and there isn't a ton of that for men.
Right.
So I love that this conversation is going to be primarily about that experience.
Yeah. And honestly, I've sat in so many of those circles, especially the cacao circles. I'm envious. It's like you see the women that come and gather, and it takes nothing to open and share and connect, and you just like literally see the lines of connection from one woman to the other, and like one person opens up and shares, and then everybody is now open. And so I know from what's been reflected back to me that there are a lot of men out there that are asking for that. And for me, there is this sense of vulnerability of going first. I'm not saying that I am the first or that I'm even special in that sense, but of leaning into this calling, of being a voice that hopefully will land with the men and women who listen to this podcast and will call them in and let them know, like, look, this is, it's time. This is a safe journey. It's now safe for us to open. And in fact, we have women, our beloveds, our communities that are desiring that from us, even though we're scared. So,
yeah. Amazing. So now I want to ask, who is Michael McPherson for everyone that's listening? And I know that's going to be really hard to answer that.
Just to preface this, I have no idea what Mackenzie's about to ask. Like, we haven't explored anything. So yeah. Anything she says on this podcast, I'm actually hearing for the first time.
Yes.
So if I like take a moment to contemplate or think about something or be with it, like
that's why. Yeah, I kept, he was like, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, I'm not telling you, it's a surprise. So that's what is there for me is, you know, this episode is who is Michael McPherson? And it's going to be hard to explain that, but I think people can feel you through the microphone already in what you've shared. But what I have been witness to is this journey of you coming into your heart. Mm-hmm. And that is this journey that of you coming, we're like both emotional now, of you coming into your fullest self. And so share whatever it is that you desire to share. Go back as far as you want or don't, just to share with the men, like, where you come from and what's brought you here now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there is emotion there for me because I'm just getting present to my own journey, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I started out as a kid and a traditional Midwestern Catholic family that was the youngest of three children. I have two older sisters. My parents are still together, still married. And I would say that from the beginning, I felt like the black sheep of their family. And that story like continued into my adulthood. But I just remember being a child and feeling emotional and feeling empathic. And of course, I didn't have those words back then. I didn't have any words because it wasn't something we talked about. But I just felt the world around me, and I was sensitive to the world around me. And I remember feeling very confused by that and very scared, not knowing who I could talk to, if it was safe to open up, if I was the crazy one, if there was just something wrong with me that set me apart from everyone else, you know? Am I the only one feeling this way? Is anyone else in my environment, anyone else in my family feeling what I'm feeling? And feeling like I didn't have a voice then to lead as a child a conversation, you know. My young adulthood looked like a lot of anger and resentment towards my family for that, for my experience as a child, you know, projecting and blaming outwards and wanting to separate myself from my family. And one, that being a gift for me to be able to be separate, to really look at myself, reflect at myself, discover who I really am. But two, because of the pain that the proximity was causing me at the time. You know, the contrast of what I was seeing and what I desired being so different. It sent me out. Like, eventually, I was pretty much a perfect young man. Perfect kid. I was like the captain of all my sports teams. I got great grades. I was popular in pretty much every group, every community that I was a part of. And all of that came really easy for me. So on the surface, when you looked at me, you'd be like, wow. And this went into my adult life too. Wow, Michael is really put together. He's got everything going for him. Unlimited potential. He's attractive, funny, charismatic, successful. And for me, it was like, I don't have a clue who I am. Or why I'm here, or what the fuck this is all for. You know, like, I actually don't know. And so while everyone was inviting me to be a part of what they wanted and what was important to them, for me it was like I hadn't gotten to the source of that for myself yet. So yeah, coming into my spirituality, my later adulthood, and just wanting to have a genuine sense of fulfillment, a genuine sense of being connected to my purpose, a genuine sense of providing a service to the world that's so connected to what my soul is here for, that it just happens organically, it just happens easily, it just happens profoundly and has an impact almost immediately, you know, that spreads like wildfire. And certainly coming into union with you has been my greatest gift of just surrendering to my heart, and together, and you and me, and you working with me together, we've like peeled back the layers, we've shucked the corn and gotten closer and closer to the core and essence of me and of us, because I know it's been the same journey for you too. And cacao being a beautiful plant medicine partner, ayahuasca being a beautiful plant medicine partner, San Pedro, mushrooms, all of these beautiful medicines that have assisted in this heart open journey. But with that has come actually feeling the pain that I had processed mentally as a young man and a young adult. You know, things I knew were going on with me, but coming into union with you, working with these medicines, having my body finally feel safe to express itself, has allowed me to process emotionally all of these things that have been harbored in my body my entire life. So now for 29 years. And with that, I've felt lighter every day. Actually, I've gotten closer to the core of the wounds, which sometimes is even more intense than back when I couldn't feel anything. So I'm like, wow, let's shut this off. You know? I want to go back. I want to take the blue pill. I want to go back to being normal. You know, in the moments where it's really challenging, it's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Fuck this spiritual heart opening stuff.
Yep.
But in reality, I'm just being challenged in that moment. And it has been the greatest journey of my life. And so who I am now is I'm just a man who has had profound experiences and is willing to look at those experiences and learn from them and now share them with other people who could also learn from them. Mm-hmm. And it's really that simple. I am not special in a sense that I'm more special than anyone else. Mm-hmm. I've just chosen for myself to focus on what my soul is telling me, focus on my connection to God, and not separate from anyone else or in excluding anyone else, just in a trust and a knowing that that's actually what I'm here for. I'm here to trust the message that's meant to come through me, you know, not, it's not my message. It's not like I sat in the bedroom this morning and made a laundry list of everything I wanted to talk about and like here it all is. And even if it came through that way, it would have been beautiful. But it's like, this is literally a message that has chosen me. And so I'm saying yes to it, not knowing how it's going to go, not knowing how it's going to turn out, not knowing if it's, what it's going to be. But I'm just saying yes. And I'm saying yes in each moment and choosing to open and receive the message and then just be a voice for it. Totally. So.
Amazing. You, like you said, you grew up in a pretty traditional Midwestern family. Mm-hmm. And I did too. So I understand the pressures that are just naturally ingrained there, even if our families weren't trying to do that. There's just a certain expectation that you go to college, you get a degree, you get a stable job. And you, from early on, were kind of feeling that wasn't in alignment for you.
Yeah.
But you tried to go that route for a second.
Totally.
Can you just talk through your journey of going through that, coming out of it, and then going through your, you know, the mental development?
Like, yeah.
Because you really worked on also in your later years after college developing your mind. in going through personal development. Yeah. But then coming into union and starting to working with medicines, it was like a journey from the mind to the heart. And that was a huge other opening. So can you just walk people through how that went for you?
I can try. Yeah. Obviously, that's like a huge,
yeah,
a huge journey. So
totally.
If you feel like I'm missing anything or if you want to accentuate anything, just let me know. But it's crazy the way that our souls and the way that spirit of the universe or God works with us, because I can remember the turning point, the thing that happened that had me go from wanting to be perfect and really put together for everyone else to now wanting to do what felt good to me, what felt right for me. And that was when I was a senior in high school. I was a football star, a captain. And one game, I was having like pretty much the game of my life, you know. I was just making all kinds of tackles, just having a ton of success. And ended up getting my picture in the paper twice from this one game. It was like a huge thing for me back then. But this game, I got injured, actually. It was so simple. I had tackled somebody, and one of my teammates, with his cleats, stepped on my leg, and it tore my soleus muscle, which connects my Achilles tendon to my gastroc, or my calves, essentially. So it put me out, and it was really painful, and I couldn't play for like 3 games, and even after I healed and continued to play, I had a brace on my ankle. And so the season wrapped up. And if you know anything about sports and being in high school and you're a 3-sport kid, you go right into the next sport. You know, you have like a week off and then you're starting practice for basketball. So there were all these expectations of me that I was supposed to be the captain of the basketball team. I was supposed to lead this team to success. My coaches had already had a plan of how this was all going to go. And I remember just sitting with myself and being like, you know what? This isn't right. I'm actually in pain right now. Like, I can go out there and I can play, but it's going to hurt me. And it's not going to give my body the space and time it needs to heal fully. And so this was coming through at a time where there was all these expectations, and even expectations of myself to perform at a certain level. And so I said no. I said I wasn't going to play, and I had teammates, coaches calling me, trying to convince me to do otherwise. I had my mom, who was extremely disappointed because obviously they were invested in my life too. It was a sense of community for them. They came and participated in all the games and watched. And I was just really aligned with my choice at the time and really stuck to it. Wow. And that was like where the path forked for me. You know, that's where it went, like living my life for everyone else to, okay, who am I and what do I want? What's right for me?
Wow.
So going into my college experience, once again, like having really easy success in school, I was a biomedical sciences major. I was a chemistry minor, like having all this success and coming super easily, but having like this awakening, it's like early awakening of like, what is this all for? Watching a ton of documentaries about like the banking system, financial system, the education system, society as a general, in general, humans awakening to their higher power, like choosing to take care of our planet and the things we're doing to our planet. And so like all of this information was like, wah, all at once. And I was like, no, what's happening? This world is so messed up, you know?
Yeah.
And then you want me to go to class. You know, you want me to go to class and study biochemistry,
yeah,
which I don't even care about. You know, what's this got to do with being human?
Totally.
So I was really frustrated and really angry and really confused and on this journey of like looking for myself, like, what am I here for? So at this same time, I had chosen that I wanted to develop myself spiritually. For whatever that meant back then, I just, the first real relationship I ever had, her family was pretty open spiritually, and we're reading all the books by Wayne Dyer, Louise Hayes, like all these traditional spiritual books that we now know of that back then were like new, you know,
sure.
They were just like fresh.
This especially was like, in Michigan, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it was like this brand new scene, you know? And I had been introduced to it for the first time, having come from a traditional Catholic background,
sure,
which I would say gave me great values as a person, and allowed me to sing at church, which I really loved. But other than that, I wasn't really connected to it. So, yeah, starting this relationship, getting to know her family, being introduced to spirituality, I really started to go there. And so I was studying and reading all these different books, and I was really inspired by it. Quantum physics, I was super inspired by it. And so I started to separate from my faith. I stopped going to church because I was really just doing that because that's what my family always did anyways. And that created a lot of conflict in my family, especially between my mom and I, because my mom is a traditional Catholic, and she's a beautiful person. Obviously, you know that.
She's
you've
amazing.
Met her.
Love her.
She just at times through this period had a lot of fear around if I wasn't practicing, then I was going to go to hell or something like that, you know, and it really was that simple. And also choosing to go out on my own and do something different from the rest of the family scared them because they didn't know what I was doing, what I was experiencing. And every time I came home, I would come back a different person, you know, so I could feel them like in a way bracing themselves, you know, like, which Michael is going to walk in the door now? Is he going to be vegan? Is he going to be like a spokesperson for the planet? Is he going to be like so laid back that he doesn't give a fuck? You know, who's going to come home? So they're always like, oh no, you know?
That's hilarious.
Which rightfully so. But
yes.
Yeah, I went through this period where I left home to go to medical school in Arizona. And it was a really profound choice for me. I like decided powerfully, followed my guidance. I knew it was time for me to leave what I had known, to leave the safety, to leave the nest, if you will. Even though I hadn't been living at home for a long time, I just needed more distance to develop myself and to grow. So I left, applied for medical school, got in, went down to the interviews, everything by myself. It was like a really empowering thing for me. And I was like, okay, I'm going. Packed all my stuff up in my parents' car and just drove, left. And I remember pulling out of the driveway, seeing both of my parents because they were getting ready to leave for work in the morning because I left super, super early. Of course, they were in tears. And this song by Garth Brooks came on the radio. It's called The River. And it's all about like following your own path to reach your destination.
Aww.
And I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry like a bird upon the wind. These waters are my sky, and I will reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. So I was just like, literally, I was bawling.
You were.
Yeah,
aww.
Just in tears, just because knowing it was such a big thing for me to be going out on my own and choosing that for myself while being scared shitless, you know?
Of course.
So, yeah, when I left home, it really allowed me to grow and expand and be introduced to things. And one of the things I was introduced to was Landmark, which is a personal professional development course. And really profound teachings for people that have had or haven't had that kind of integrative work where you're actually looking and reflecting on your life. You're not just approaching things conceptually and understanding concepts and then being able to talk about them. You're actually going in, bringing your life to this course, and they're like, oh, we're not going to do this for you. Like, you're actually going to look at your life. So what I looked at was my relationship to my family primarily and the resentment that I held and understanding for the first time that that's what was going on with me, that I was actually blaming and resenting my parents for the parents that I wanted them to be that they weren't for me, you know, which is totally not fair for them. So, yeah, just really getting that and also getting that anything that can be created can be uncreated and created newly, you know, like I am no thing. We're not fixed with our characteristics, with our personalities. Like everything is dynamic and moving and evolving 24/7. So I left feeling like a really profound sense of freedom, like truly anything is possible, like an empty canvas. But calling my parents in taking responsibility for myself, my attitude, my resentment and apologizing for that was a big step for me.
Yes.
And I actually thought that was the last step.
Yeah.
But as probably many people listening have experienced, these things don't just disappear typically overnight. And the piece that was missing for me was allowing myself to feel the trauma I had experienced for me.
Sure.
You know, for other people looking at my life, that you would look at it and be like, there was nothing traumatic that happened here. Like, you had a very easy life, and I did. It's just the setup for all of us is unique. Mm-hmm. And my setup was I was an emotional, aware, awake child in a family that wasn't.
Yeah.
And that was extremely challenging for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, coming into this relationship and meeting you for the first time, which your voice and your purpose is to bring people into their hearts, to open people's hearts, to have them awaken to that heart center inside of them and be present with that, to lead people into their shadow and leave them there and have them face that. So we were already doing that, you and I having that exchange like from the very beginning, and then adding cacao into the mix, which is this profound heart-opening medicine. It just had me start to sit and actually be still, because so much of my life had been about doing, mm-hmm, and being busy, and being so busy that there was never any time to actually sit and reflect and be still and process emotionally what I was feeling, and intentionally so, because who wants to do that, you know, especially as a man? Nobody really wants to do that because it's tough work, like it or not. So I had about 10 years of my life. I remember sitting at the park with you one day just reflecting on this with you. Like, I've literally had 10 years of my life where I stayed so busy that my body never felt safe to emotionally process everything I was experiencing. So coming into this space now where I was literally like cleaving from my life all of these things that were no longer in alignment. So the story is, I met Mackenzie and I had just completed another relationship, made a real clear decision for myself that was truly in alignment for me, and came into union with Mackenzie right away and fell in love with her immediately. And then just had this profound period of reflecting on like, okay, what is actually in alignment for me? What actually is my service? What actually am I being called to do, which just so happened to be nothing that I was doing currently, which was scary in and of itself. So yeah. I was in real estate at the time. I quit my real estate job and completed all those relationships. I was building an isogenics business at the time, and I walked away from everything I had built and communicated to my team, like, I just need some time to really reflect and sit with this, with what I'm being guided to now. I was coaching these courses through Landmark. So I had programs that I was participating in. I had people that I was responsible for having them get certain distinctions and coaching them through a program. And I just went through what seemed like every area of my life and had really powerful completion conversations, mm-hmm, to give me the spaciousness that I felt like I needed at the time.
Yeah.
To just be with myself.
You were clearing out a relationship, and
yes,
you moved cities.
Yes. So
and
I moved from Scottsdale to LA within even just a couple weeks of meeting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so it was relationship, location, and then all the ventures that you were up to, and then what was left?
Nothing.
So how did that feel?
So we had this developing relationship between you and I, which was like super fun and like exciting and scary at the same time, because I was asked to be more vulnerable than I'd ever been before. So now I'm letting this person that I've recently fallen in love with like in on every part of me, and I'm like, no, you can't see that, because if you see that, you won't love me. Peeling back those layers and letting you in, which was extremely challenging, but also doing that for myself. So literally having nothing to distract myself with. You know, I didn't have work to just be like, oh, I'm just going to like bang on this computer for a little while and distract me. Oh, I'm just going to like, oh, I have these like interactions and coaching calls just to distract myself. It was like nothing. Yeah. I had cacao, binaural beats, and all the space and the time in the world.
Yes.
And for most people, that might seem like a dream, but for me, it was a nightmare.
Sure. Because
it scared the hell out of me.
Sure. I remember you were like, and it what made do I me.
Like, yeah, at first, physically, down. I was like, you know, like even just being still.
Right.
I was like, you know, my body was like so conditioned to going, doing, being so active. You know, you get up at 6. By 6:30, you're doing the thing. By 9 o'clock, you're sitting in your office chair. And then you're working. And then you come home from work. And you get back on the computer. You do coaching calls. And then whatever else, you know.
And I'm sure coming into union, it was like the ego wanted to probably, like the masculine condition.
Oh, yeah. Who am I? What am I contributing to the world? I'm not doing anything.
What's she going to think of
that? I'm a useless piece of dirt. You know, like, I've now severed all my income streams, so I actually don't even have an income coming in anymore. So, like, yeah, like, my ego was really, in a big way, quickly hung out to dry because everything I had hung it on, I now intentionally had removed from my life, but
super brave.
I didn't know that I was going to feel that way when I did it. You
sure.
know, I was just trusting that something would come, the right thing would come, which of course it did.
Of course. Yeah.
But at the time it was extremely uncomfortable. And the longer I sat, the more my body was like, okay, now we're going to start the process through some of these
things.
Is that
what you did? You just sat. You had all this space. So you just like tell them what you did with that time.
I drank cacao. And I sat very still, and I listened. And at that time, I didn't have a profound connection to my higher self, where it was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to sit and talk to my higher self, or I'm just going to sit and listen to Source or hear my guidance. I didn't have that then. And it's something that I talk about so freely now because it's such a profound part of my life to feel this intuitive guidance in any given moment. But back then, it was just like, the fuck, you know, like, what do I do? So I sat in cacao ceremony every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. And I just did my best to relax. And for me in the beginning, that was enough because that was going against all my instincts or all my conditioning, I should say. So I was just becoming aware of how conditioned I actually was when my perspective of myself was, you know, here I am, this successful man, and I'm in personal professional development courses. I've got years of development under my belt now. You know, there's like nothing that can touch me. I'm like the king of my world. And it was like I hadn't even explored my world yet, or the next layer of it, which was my heart. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so profound, and it was and is an amazing journey to be witness to, because I can say, oh yeah, I see the world, and we go through like physical awareness, and we really master our physical bodies, and I know you did that piece, and then it's mental awareness of like, wow, I can create anything.
Yeah.
I can use the law of attraction to attract certain experiences.
I've listened to more Abraham videos than anyone listening to this right now, I swear
to God.
Exactly.
So
I was Abraham at one time.
Yeah, you were. Literally, I remember watching that when
I was like, oh,
we weren't in union.
You need to change your language around that.
You very much developed your mind to be positive, to create your reality,
totally.
To attract and manifest what was in, you know, whatever it is you thought was in your highest and best. And that is an important piece.
Yeah.
But then coming into union with all that time that you were sitting, it was like your nervous system and your body was finally coming online and relaxing into your truest self.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, like I was addicted to caffeine.
Yeah.
And obviously I wouldn't have told you that back then. But
sure.
Now looking back and reflecting on it, it's like I was addicted to the stimulation, to the go, 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 to the hustle, to that feeling of being on the move, which to me translated into doing things, which meant like you're being successful. You know, you're working it. You're out there putting in your time every single day. And because of that, you're going to be rewarded. Which now it was like I wasn't doing any of that, which was extremely confronting. So I literally wasn't – it felt like I was just being the biggest bum.
Mm,
you know, that was,
sure.
I'm so lazy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing anything. And therefore, I don't deserve anything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't deserve this space. I don't deserve this woman. I don't deserve these finances. It's like, I'm not doing anything for the world. I'm just like this giant waste of space. Which was a conversation that was always being had inside of me. I was just now getting present to it. And I had this really profound awareness. I think it actually came originally through Matt Kahn, which was that guidance actually comes through a relaxed nervous system.
Exactly.
It's about receiving.
Yes.
We have our guides around us 24/7, around the clock, wanting to serve us, wanting to lead us, wanting to provide the message that's going to make the difference for the exact situation that we're in right now. It's just like, are we in the vicinity to actually hear it? And me being extremely stimulated by, one, my own nervous system and my conditioning, but then two, external things like work and caffeine, I wasn't in the vicinity to receive that guidance or to hear it, you know? So
yeah,
it was like if you see animals when they experience something traumatic, like you see a gazelle that gets chased by across the Sahara by a cheetah, and then when it's over, you see him like shake vigorously. And then it's over. They go back to grazing. It's like, how is that possible? A human being would never do that. You know, we'd have like 10 years of having to walk through that and process it. But my body in its own divine intelligence was recognized that the spaciousness and the stillness was now here and it was shaking.
Oh, sure.
It was shaking out all the trauma. It was shaking out all the emotions that had been suppressed and pressed down to like the deepest aspects of myself. So that was all coming to the surface, which was scary.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I love that you're speaking to this because it's giving men permission to, okay, yes, you can master your physical body. You can master your mental body. But then what about the emotional side, which I feel is the spiritual side?
Yeah.
Like your spirituality, especially for a man, it is to come back into your emotions.
Totally.
To feel again.
Yeah.
So can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah. I guess it kind of happens organically because it wasn't like I made a decision one day that, you know, I really want to open my heart. I didn't even have that language to know that that's what was happening, you know? But my soul was leading me down this path, which is like, okay, now is the time to open. And of course, I didn't have any role models or really other men in my life at that time that were reflecting back to me what that process looked like.
Yeah.
Or even that it was something that was desired by the world.
Totally.
You know, I definitely had you constantly reflecting back to me. I want to know you. I want to feel you. I want you to open to me and share what your internal process is right now, which was pretty much how this happened for me, to have a constant reminder of that's something that's desired and wanted. And so many of us, you know, men get into relationships and they think like, that's not what's wanted. They want a really strong, stable, certain provider that's out there conquering the world and making them feel extremely safe. Which is true in a sense. Women, of course, you want to feel safe. So do we. But they also want to feel held and known in their emotions for who they really are. They want to be understood and felt on that deep level. See, I'm not sure if I'm going in the right direction here, but
that's perfect because that is what you did. Like you said, you didn't have the language to say, I want to open my heart at the time.
Yeah.
But I remember you starting, I'd be like, okay, I'd be like, there's something you're not saying, or I feel something. And you'd be like, yeah, my chest feels very constricted.
Well, that's where I had to start.
Explaining the physical sensation in your body.
Yeah.
And the tightness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to start there.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's so crazy when you develop your mind a certain way or to a certain extent, you actually disconnect from your emotional body.
Totally.
I had disconnected from my emotional body. So I couldn't even give a word to what I was feeling.
Yes.
You know, I had a mental explanation for everything, but I couldn't say, oh, I'm just feeling sad right now, and then have the tears come out of my eyes.
Sure.
It was like, you'd be like, oh, what just happened to you? Or like, what's going on with you? And I'd be like, huh? You know, I'd like brace myself and be like, oh no, she's on to me. And then I'm like looking, trying to sort myself out, like, oh, what's going on over here? And I'm in a total panic, when really it was just like, I was so disconnected from my emotional body, mm-hmm. and what was happening inside of me from the neck down.
Sure.
Everything that was happening from the neck up was like, that's my jam. Mm-hmm. You know, I could describe that until the cows come home.
Sure.
But neck down was like severed. You might as well have these like cut me off from the neck and just like separate those two parts of my body.
Yes.
So yeah, when things would come up for me, it'd be like, or you would tell me like, you're like not in this conversation with me. And I'd be like, what? Not in this conversation with you. Like, I'm so here. I'm just listening. You know, I'm listening. I'm just listening to what you're saying. And which is true, because I could tell you everything that you said, you know, word for word. But I wasn't like, actually, my energy was like, nah, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Anytime there would be emotion that came up for you, I'd be like, no, that's not my thing. That's your thing. That's for you to address. So yeah, I'll share the same space with you right now, but I'm basically just like waiting till it's over, mm-hmm. you know? Or if the energy and emotion was intense, it was like, and this had come from my previous relationship too. It's like, oh, you just got issues, you know, yes. like you're crazy.
Yeah.
And that's not my problem. Mm-hmm. And so I just check out, and my physical body would actually lean back. Mm-hmm. My developed response was to lean out.
Sure.
And disconnect emotionally. And I would disconnect emotionally, because then I wouldn't have to be confronted with the emotion itself. I wouldn't have to feel it. Because
right.
if I did have to feel it, I'd have to be responsible for it. And if I had to be responsible for it, it would actually probably hurt me. And if it hurt me, then I'd have to be vulnerable in sharing how it hurt. Mm-hmm. And I'd also have to like really receive how you were being hurt. Yeah. And that was just too much for me at the time. You know, it's like,
it's a lot, because you weren't trained. You know,
yeah, I had no, not even like the conceptual understanding of how that was meant to go.
Sure. Honestly, this is such a huge topic, and I am really guided that this is going to be the start of part two. And I had a feeling that this episode would be part two, because I had a feeling you were going to start getting into this journey of coming into the heart, and the journey of coming into your own emotions.
Yeah.
And I have the perspective of the entire journey, and so I don't want to condense it down to these last few minutes. So
it's hard not to.
Yeah, it is.
It's like you have the whole journey, and I could tell you the whole journey, and that would be like 4 hours.
I know it would.
Or we could dive into like a specific conversation, a specific experience, and that would be like 4 hours.
It would, yeah.
You know?
So this is like a teaser. Part two, we're going to go into Michael's journey of truly as a man coming into his heart space, and what that's looked like, felt like, the tools he's used, the resources he's used, all of that.
Yeah.
yes. So for now, to end this amazing first episode where you got
this is the end?
I know, right?
Oh my gosh. We've got 33% left. Why would we stop here?
I don't know where you got that percentage, but you know, I feel like there's something that you're wanting to leave people with right now. And I don't know what that is, but I'm just feeling it. It's wanting to come out of you. So I'm just going to let you go there.
Yeah, I just feel like it's permission granted to start the journey, mm-hmm. and to be in the unknown. And specifically for men, permission granted to want to feel, the actual desire to feel again, to be so in touch with yourself that you're moved by yourself, that you're able to be moved by anything, you know? Because I, just in these conversations, I remember the feeling of being the stoic man who was never rocked by anything, and who always had a mental explanation and understanding of everything that was happening around him. But I also remember feeling cold and feeling disconnected from life. I was like, there's something missing here. And what was actually missing was my emotional depth, my ability to actually receive life. And that is a lifelong journey, the journey of learning to receive, to let life in, to really be moved by it. But I think what's there for me is really just like permission granted. Like, you're not alone. There's so many men. Think about men is like, we get these feelings like, man, I really want to go deeper with myself. And then it's like immediately what's there is everything outside of us, society, what society sees as manly, our relationships, is my beloved going to support me? Are my guy friends going to think I'm stupid or gay? Or do they really want this too? Or like, are they just going to shame me and basically pick on me for all this? So it's like, there's so many external forces that feel like are already in place that as soon as you voice the desire are going to come back and shut it down. But really, it's just our internal conditioning that's having us shut it down. Mm-hmm. And so just it's so cool. Like, I want to make it so cool to feel and be emotional and be connected emotionally. And I really just want to give people that experience, because there's nothing in this world that will replace the experience of being emotionally connected, of being so actually connected here and feeling that in the moment. Like, if you want to actually have a sense of fulfillment in life, that's where there is to go. You know, and us guys are really good at externalizing our desires and trying to fulfill ourselves with things outside of us. You know, be really successful in business, sleep with a lot of women, have what appears to be a beautiful family, accumulate all of these things. And all of that is an externalization of an attempt to fill this hole. This hole of unfulfillment in our gut. And that can only be filled by our own love. That can only be filled by our connection to God. That can only be filled by this, what you could consider a spiritual component, this heart opening spiritual component of life. And it's also completely natural to feel that, because that is a guiding post. It's a communication that, hey, you're a little bit too focused on your external world right now. You need to like come back home. We need to check in here and remember this, like this space within that's needing nurturing, that's needing love, that's needing to be filled by no one other than you, you know? And I know there's men that genuinely desire to be of service to the world, because I'm one of them. And the greatest service that we can actually be to the world is to come with that fullness in our bellies, to come with being at home already and then extending ourselves outward, rather than trying to pull everything inside of us to feel whole. And so permission granted for men out there and men in the world to have genuine desires to open and be genuinely afraid and curious and not know what to do, where to go, what resources to access, you know. Permission granted to be in the discomfort of that and still own the desire that this is coming from no other place than me. This is what I desire. Mm. And to move forward from there.
Permission granted.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I knew you had something. Pew. Well, just to affirm that like from the feminine side, that is so desired. So we are so ready for you, so ready for that. And in just right here and now, like, I am honoring you and bowing to you and to the king that you are, to the wisdom you represent, to the, I just love you so much. And I'm so proud of you. And I know it hasn't been easy. And I'll probably end like every single episode with this to just say, keep going. I love you, we love you, and you're safe, and just bring it on.
Like, yeah.
I love receiving you in this power that you are, so
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, if I can do anything to make you uncomfortable and have to grow too, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, well,
if
we
I can
do an entire other podcast on that.
If I can open men or show them how to open in a way to be so loving to their beloveds that it then makes them uncomfortable,
yes,
and they have to grow to receive more love,
yes,
then we're doing our
that
work
here.
That
should be an entire other episode.
Yeah,
it is so, because it hasn't just been you that's gone through this journey. It has been a huge invitation into my own growth, my own vulnerability, my own receptivity, into dropping into my feminine, giving me the safety and the security to do that. It's been a true challenge, but so incredibly fulfilling. Just to learn like what it actually looks like to hold a man. You're teaching me that every single day. Mm. So it's just growth all around.
Well, they say that behind every strong man is a even stronger woman. Mm-hmm. And in this case, that's more true than ever. Mm-hmm. But you've been not behind me, but beside me, sometimes in front of me. And yeah, it's just, it just moves me because it takes at times such a large amount of compassion and humility to be on the receiving end of a man's shadow, even the collective shadow, and to approach it with grace and to still bring love and to still invite me higher. And that's what you've always done. And you've always like nurtured and voiced and expressed the best in me, which I've been able to see the best of me in you. So as much as like we're a reflection of each other's shadows, you've constantly reflected back to me our gifts, you know, and just how far along we actually are. And yeah, I'm receiving you and receiving your love, and
I can feel that
will be a forever thing to open, receive you further and honor you always. And it was actually Mackenzie's idea to do this podcast together. So it wasn't something I came up with, even though it's primarily my voice.
Yes.
It was because I have a woman who could see me so profoundly that she was able to stand for what she saw in me, even if I wasn't ready to. Mm. So I love you.
I love you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, next episode is going to be diving into all of this deeper, and we'll see you guys then. I'm just going to kiss you.
Love you, tribe.